We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Covering Boston sports and beyond, we're back to Christian Arcand on WEEI.
Berrios loops out of the backfield. Rush is coming. Wilson intercepted. Picked off by Bentley. And he's tackled at the 40. Zach Wilson turns it over on a third and two. Bootleg. Wilson has the time but doesn't like what he sees downfield. And now it's picked off. Intercepted along the sideline by the veteran Devin McCourty. Rush coming. Wilson gets out of the pocket, trying to set himself. Wilson flicks it downfield and it's intercepted. Picked off once again. McCourty, number three for Zach Wilson. He had four interceptions week two of last season against the Pats.
Hour number two here. Sports Radio, WEEI, it's Christian Arcand. In my maiden voyage here on this Saturday, normally you're going to be hearing me Saturdays starting right now, starting at 1 and going until 4, but today we got BC football, so you got me from 12 to 2. We got one more hour here, and of course, phone lines open at 617-779-7937. By the way, if you're hearing me for the first time, you can follow me on Twitter, at Christian Arcand. I don't know why I stuttered on my own name there, but at Christian Arcand. Very easy to spot. Just my name. That's it. So go ahead and follow me there if you're not already. And we got Mike Dussault of Patriots.com who will be joining the show at 1:30. Deuce, who you hear all the time if you're on Patriots.com, you see him and read him and hear him over there pre and post game. I worked with him a bunch of times. Great guy. Very knowledgeable. He's got a lot to say about this game. So we'll be talking with him in about a half an hour. In the meantime, we'll get to your phone calls in just a moment. But I wanted to talk about Zach Wilson, who you just heard in that open there, giving the game away. I mean, that's what he did. It was his worst game of the year by far. The only one of two games that he's thrown any interceptions in. People talk about him like he's this train wreck, and he is. But he had three interceptions in that game, and the opener against Pittsburgh, they won that game 24-20. He had two interceptions in that game and one touchdown. He also had two touchdowns against the Patriots, by the way. But the three interceptions is what we remember. He had a pick and two, or a touchdown and two picks against Pittsburgh week one, and October 2nd, when his first week that he played. And that's it. Those are the only two games he's thrown interceptions in. Now, in the other games where he hasn't thrown interceptions, he hasn't been great. He did throw one touchdown against Buffalo and no picks there. In games against Denver, Green Bay, and Miami, he had no touchdowns and no interceptions. All of those games were wins. What does that tell you? It tells you that if they're going to win games, this Jets team, they're going to do it in spite of Zach Wilson. They're going to do it with Wilson not doing too much out there. And certainly not throwing balls up for grabs like he did against the Patriots over and over again. In very weird situations, too. Like, Zach Wilson, whatever you think about him, he's a tough guy to bring down. Like, he'll get away from that pressure. He was really, I was impressed. Like, he was... Even Judon, Uche, and everybody who's been, Dietrich Wise, like all these guys who are having good years, couldn't get to him in that game. I think he only got sacked twice, but I mean, they were chasing him all over the place. And he's very good at getting away. But then he'd get away, give himself like a couple of seconds to look downfield, and instead of just throwing it out of bounds since he's way out of the tackles, he just lightly would toss it to Devin McCourty. Like, I've never seen anything like that before. I've never seen anyone work so hard to avoid getting sacked, run all over the place. He's Barry Sanders running around left to right, finally getting some breathing room, and then just looking right at the safety and just throwing a nice soft pass right into his waiting hands. Like, that happened twice in that game. It was unbelievable. And I watched that, and I know what you're thinking now. Well, Arcand, how can you pick him? How can you pick that guy? How can you be picking the Jets and that guy to beat the Patriots? Because of what happened the week after and what's happened in other weeks and why I just think that was such a weird anomaly It's hard for me to believe that that sort of thing's going to happen again. Not to mention Wilson's demeanor. I'll tell you, on Friday, which was yesterday, Megan Ottolini had a great segment. It was about Zach Wilson and is he or is he not the biggest douche that the Patriots will face at quarterback this year. And I think we all agreed that it's going to be tough to top that. It's going to be tough to top Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson's got a headband, which, I mean, right there, you got a headband on you. You're already a couple laps ahead in the douche race. He also, you know, has that whole thing about, remember that whole story about his friend's mom? I don't know if that puts him in the douche category or whatever, but I think people just are sort of turned off by his general demeanor, right? You know, that's something. But I'll tell you what, when he asked that reporter, why'd you turn down the coaching job? I thought that was funny. Like, I thought that was a good line.
Well, I did.
Why'd you turn down a coaching position?
Who told you that?
It's not a bad line.
The little mocking ha-ha at the end, too.
Yeah, like, not a bad retort. I'm not saying that makes him cool. I'm just saying that wasn't, like, the douchiest thing I've ever heard. That laugh was a little douchey, I'll admit. But, like, what'd you turn down a coaching job for then? You know, like, yeah, pretty good. Pretty good zinger. I'm not gonna, you know, like, I'll do credit where credit's due. But he was cocky, borderline cocky after a game where he threw three interceptions, which I think just sort of speaks to his person. That's why people don't like him. He's just inherently confident, you know. He just, no matter what he does, he's, no big deal. I'll get him next time. But the thing is, he did get him next time.
Yeah, we'll have these guys in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's okay. We'll see him again. You know, that was what you saw out there. It was a fluke. He threw for 355 yards in that game, by the way. Okay, so those three interceptions were hideous. Like, really, really ugly. But he threw for more yards than I think Mac Jones has thrown for in any three games this year. I know that's not right, but bear with me, right? Like, I'm exaggerating. But, you know, like, that's sort of what I mean. You watch him and you sort of think, man, if he can figure, it's like Josh Allen kind of. He can figure it out. There's something there. You know, if he stops doing that, there's something there. He stops making the dumbest throws I've ever seen in my life when he could just throw the ball out of bounds, which is what I think he was trying to do in the first place. You know, maybe there's something there. With Mac, it's different. With Mac, you already know there's something there, and you just haven't seen it this year. With Wilson, you sort of feel like, oh, maybe it's coming, maybe not. We'll see if this kid can get out of his own way. And I'm not necessarily sure that I'm not, you know, I'm not saying that he's going to go out and kill the Patriots and throw, you know, four touchdowns and 400 yards in this game tomorrow. I don't think that that's going to happen. I don't think that he's capable of that. He can throw for yards, threw for yards against the Patriots last time, but I don't think that that's sort of what we're going to see in terms of the game plan. I think they're going to tell Zach Wilson to do what they do every time they've won a game he's played in. And that is, could you just not be ridiculous? Can you not chuck the ball all over the place? Can you take care of it? And maybe only throw it about, you know, 17, 18 times, and we'll win the game that way. Because I think they can beat the Patriots that way, I do. You know, I just think that they're just a little bit crisper. And I also think that they have momentum that the Patriots don't have, coming off a win over Buffalo in a bye week. And I also think they have the added incentive of wanting to show that that game in at MetLife Stadium 3 weeks ago was a fluke. Whereas the Patriots are trying to show, yeah, we can do that again, even though they haven't really shown that offensively they can get back to that spot or go beyond it. I think that's the biggest difference. 617-779-7937, that's the phone number. Let's take a call here. Tim is in Hanover. How you doing, Tim?
Christian, yep. I just popped in my truck. I heard your take on right before the break. I loved everything that came out of your mouth, man. I'm glad you're here on the show or back on the show, whatever it was. I never heard you before, but I loved it all. I want to talk about Mac.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that this team can gel finally to give this kid the time. Let me tell you, a lot of these Patriots fans, they don't really know much about quarterbacks, obviously, because you know what? The majority of the quarterbacks, if you watched last weekend alone, you would have learned something. Like Dak Prescott, okay?
Yep.
Josh Allen, Kirk Cousins, and one other quarterback I had in my head a second ago, but I forgot. They all threw two picks, and they were all detrimental to their team, except for Cousins. He lucked out. But these quarterbacks, they're all experienced guys they're quality quarterbacks, and all they and they threw bad picks. Well, they crucify Mac because he hasn't had the protection and the time to do what he's had to do. This kid's a quality quarterback, and I'll tell you what, the Pats fans, if they're not careful for what they wish for, and they do, and Bill does trade this guy, maybe this kid will wind up with Josh Allen. He's got elite players on that team, and that team will be solid next year, and they won't want to have Carr because Carr's an average quarterback. I hope they win this game, and it won't be a cakewalk. I think it's going to be a very tough game, and if everyone plays right, they can beat this team.
Yeah, Tim, thanks for the call, and thanks for what you said. That was nice of you to say. I think that they certainly are capable of winning this game. I don't think this is some no-brainer. Jets are, you know, so much better than you, you have no chance. Like, you know, I thought we all thought with the Patriots and the Bills last year when they couldn't even, you know, compel them to punt once in two games. No one's saying that. I'm certainly not saying that. I think the Jets have momentum. I think they have a defense that's just a little bit better than yours, not a lot better. But I think that they have more playmakers in their secondary than you do. I just do. I think up front there is maybe they don't have a Judon, but they have a bunch of guys who I think are really playing well. And anybody who watches this Jets team, it's hard to just ignore that. You know, it's hard to ignore what you're seeing with that defense. They have been tremendous this year, and the Patriots have also been very good on defense, except when they're playing really good quarterbacks. You know, like that's my fear about this team and why I'm still not quite ready to, you know, go all in with it yet. When they had to play Tua in that offense, they actually did a pretty good job against Tua and Hill and Waddle, I'd say. You know, they only scored 20 points in the opener, but, you know, they still beat you. When they had to play Lamar Jackson put his thing down, flipped it and reversed it all over him. And what else? Aaron Rodgers, you know, I mean, Rodgers is going to do that. And Justin Fields, who suddenly is this dynamic playmaker, he broke out against you. And that's when it really started to turn for him and when he started going out there and being a productive quarterback week in and week out. It started with him. So, I don't know. I mean, look at the quarterbacks that they've beaten. Trubisky, Goff, Brissett, Wilson, and Ellinger. You know, like, those are the guys they've beaten. That's who this defense has beaten. They've putting up good numbers, sure, but haven't we seen this before? Haven't we seen this exact thing where they go out and beat up on lousy quarterbacks and lousy teams or teams where the quarterback's injured or whatever and, like, get all excited and then they have to play the Buffaloes and the Josh Allens and everybody else at the end? The Vikings, who are a legit team this year, you know, the Bengals, who don't think are great, but they're, you know, they're playing well. They're the team that was in the Super Bowl last year, and you got the Dolphins again. All right, that's all. 617-779-7937, that's the phone number. We'll get to more of your phone calls. And when we come back, we'll talk with Mike Dussault, Patriots.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to Christian Arcan on WEEI.
His tails.
Heads.
Heads is the call. Heads is the call. It is heads. You want to kick.
We want to kick off.
Kick off. So you're going to receive. Way. Which way do you want to receive? Where do you want to receive it? That way? Okay, just like this. New England wins the toss. They elected to kick.
We won. Don't we get to choose which way?
You elected to kick. That's your choice.
Yeah. Okay.
Not the way.
Yeah. Utterly bizarre.
But, you know, beginning of every game,
when the Patriots win the toss, they always defer.
So you think it's muscle memory?
Well, it could be, but the other thing there is that Blakeman said, you want a kick, before the Patriots said, we want a kick. So he talked him into it, I think.
I think Slater was ready to change his mind. Blakeman said, you already said
that's
you
right.
want a kick.
But I think Blakeman said you want a kick first.
The Jets.
That's the last time the Jets beat the Patriots. It's Arcan here, Sports Radio, WEEI. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll get to your phone calls in just a moment. Also, we'll talk with Deuce from Patriots.com, Mike Dussault. We'll be joining the show here in about 5 minutes. Be good to talk to him. That was a funny moment. We all remember the look on Matthew Slater's face when they said, okay, you're kicking. And where would you like to receive it, Jets? And he's like, wait, we get to decide, right? No, you decided if you wanted to receive or kick. And what usually, so for those who still are not clear on what happened there, you usually defer. The other team decides if they want to kick or receive. And then you say, okay, I'm going to defend this or I'm going to defend that goal. And what they were trying to do there is they were trying to take the wind. So you can either decide to kick or receive, or you can decide to defend one side or the other. But you can't do both. And Slater was trying to do both. He was trying to say, we want to kick and defend this. When instead he should have just said, we want to defend this goal, and then they can decide if they want to kick or receive. And then the Jets would have opted to receive, obviously, and that's the way it would have gone. But that didn't happen because it just didn't happen. And that's the last time that the Patriots lost to the Jets. The time before that was 2 years prior in 2013. And this was another weird overtime situation where I think it was Chris Long got penalized for pushing. I forget who he pushed, but he pushed somebody into the gap, right? He pushed like a linebacker or someone into the gap to try and block a, I believe, Nick Folk field goal attempt. Nick Folk was trying to kick like a 60-yarder or something, and Long pushed this guy into it. Into the scrum, and for the first time ever, I remember this, because it was the first time this penalty's ever been called. It was unsportsmanlike conduct or something, but it was the first time they'd ever called that penalty for someone doing that, for someone pushing a teammate into the line, which was ridiculous when it happened. But those are the only two times in the last, I don't know how many, that the Jets have beaten the Patriots, and we're going back a ways here. You know, this has not been a rivalry. This has been just a beatdown. It's been a yearly, year-in, year-out beatdown.
It was Chandler Jones. It was 4th and 7. It was a 56-yard
56-yarder, okay.
And he moved it 15 yards closer.
And then Nick Folk, as he always does, right down the middle. Speaking of Nick Folk, Bill Belichick's press conference on Friday, did anyone notice this? It had a very odd start. The first question that anyone, and I don't know who it was, maybe it was Reese, I'm not sure, but so the first question anyone asked Bill was about the wind and the construction, and is the construction going to be a problem with the wind in the kicking game? And Bill's like, oh yeah, definitely. And I heard that, and I was like, what? And so I looked it up, and I'm like, have they talked about this before? And it's true, they did. Back in August, again, I don't remember which reporter it was, but someone asked Bill, hey, with all this construction going on there and the lighthouse and everything, is that going to be a problem for you in the kicking game? And Bill was like, yeah, definitely. It definitely will be an issue. It's going to, you know, with the big opening there and the construction that they're doing, like the wind and all that's going to be a big problem.
It's hot, it's cold, it's windy, it rains, it snows.
Yeah, all that. But he did mention that, and that was the first question someone asked. I know it's going to be nasty weather tomorrow. I didn't know it was going to be windy. I knew it was going to be cold. But I guess it'll also be very windy. So Bill's aware of that, and some may consider that building in a nice, easy excuse right away, but I don't personally. Win, no win, doesn't matter. Nick Folk's going to hit that field goal. Nick Folk's not going to miss a field goal. You've been watching this team? Nick Folk is the baddest badass on the team, other than Judon. Those two. I mean, those two are carrying this team. Judon and Folk, and I guess Ramondre Stevenson, and a little bit Jacoby Myers. Those four are really carrying this team to the 5-4 record that they have right now. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Before we get to Deuce, let's talk to Steve in Fall River. Hello, Steve. How you doing?
Unlike your other caller, I remember you when you started on the radio station. I broke you in.
That's right, Steve.
Which is okay. You're in a long list of people I broke in, including Tom Curran.
There you go.
On a previous station back in 01. You brought up Wilson, and you brought up Mac Jones,
yep.
And you brought up the other quarterback in the division in Buffalo.
Well, there's another one, too, named Tua, but yes, I brought him up, too.
You brought three guys up. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about the three guys. Leave Tua alone.
Sure.
Wilson and the guy in Buffalo, I'm losing his
Allen.
Name. They came into this league with problems in their head, and they made bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what?
What?
Allen's still making bad decisions. He's running guys over instead of sliding, throwing late interceptions. He'll get over that. Wilson making, you already talked about, he got out of the tackle box. He can get away from people. He tries to throw it out of bounds. He doesn't throw it out of bounds. He'll see that on his stuff, and he can get over it. If his mind can match his physical skills, he'll ascend. That's not Mac Jones. Mac Jones is more like Tom Brady. Mac Jones had to work on his nutrition, try to get his arm strength a little better.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to have been ahead of them in decision-making. You brought up confidence, high level in Zach Wilson. I would have said that about Mac Jones after watching that playoff game last year, Bubba, because I thought he was the only one that came to play.
You're right about that. Now, and Steve, I'm sorry to cut you off here, but I have to because we have a guest that we got to get to. So I apologize,
go to these
Steve.
Rookies. Yeah, that's all right. I'll come back.
I apologize. I should not have taken that call. I forgot Steve likes to spread his wings a little bit when he gets on the air, and I love that about him, but it's just now it was a bad time to do it. It's my fault. Steve, I put that on me. You know what? Steve, I'm not going anywhere. I'm here every Saturday, so, you know, we'll talk again. Don't worry about it. But right now we're talking to Deuce, Mike Dussault of Patriots.com, who joins us here on the Harbor One Hotline. Deuce, what's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, RK. I'm doing well. How are you?
I know. You got big shoes to follow there after Steve from Fall River, but I think you can do it.
What he was saying, though, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he would have said a lot more if we'd let him go, but I know that you have things to do, so we'll talk to you. We'll start here with the quarterback situation, and I think one that you and I remember talking about after that Jets game, Wilson sort of very dismissively saying, yeah, we'll see them again in a couple of weeks. And I think at the time, we all sort of just dismissed that as, well, Wilson's just an arrogant jerk, but then the week after that, they go out there and beat the Buffalo Bills. How much confidence is this Jets team bringing into this matchup, do you think?
Well, I was listening to you earlier in the show, and you brought up the point of he's really only thrown interceptions in two games. So I think that's a great point. I think it's a huge key of, you know, how do the quarterbacks play, specifically relating to the two defenses. You know, which of the two defenses make it the hardest on the opposing quarterback? So it's a huge game tomorrow. You know, it feels almost like these games before the bye were just kind of prologue to the season, and now the season's really going to start. You're going to get a real sense, I think, of, you know, who this Patriots team is tomorrow.
Is the Patriots-Jets rivalry back?
I guess you could pick out a handful of games that have meant something over the last two decades, and this is probably going to be one of them. So we'll see tomorrow. I mean, if Zach Wilson is throwing interceptions all over the place again, then I guess not. But it's certainly a great opportunity for the Jets. This is, you know, the biggest Jets game here probably since, you know, the playoff game. Not that I want to bring that up back in 2010 in the playoffs there, but it's a big game, and we'll see. I think this game is going to kind of define where the Patriots, you know, kind of the floor of their season. What is that going to be? Is it, are they ready to make a playoff push and get over that last year bye week thing where they came out, got blown off the field by the Colts right out of the gate? Let's see if they can get a better start this year to the second half of the season.
Yeah, and I think we all agree the elephant in the room is the offense. So let's ignore the elephant for just one more minute here because I want to talk about the defense. As good as they've been, Deuce, you look at the teams that they've beaten and the teams that they've lost to, in particular the quarterbacks, and I just can't help but get these awful memories of the Boogeymen and even last year, that stretch that they went on. Why should we think that this team in this year is any different when you see the defense going, you know, off against Sam Ellinger and Zach Wilson and, Trubisky and those guys, and then getting beat pretty badly by the Lamar Jacksons and the Aaron Rodgers of the world?
Yeah, and I mean, you look at the slate coming up, too. I mean, look, their defense has been really strong, you know, statistically, once again here through that early part of the nine game start to the season. But you look at the slate coming up. I mean, the Jets are the Jets, but right on the wings of that are coming up with Justin Jefferson. Well, we'll see how healthy he is. But, you know, I mean, then of course Josh Allen, Buffalo Bills, Stephon Diggs. I mean, there's some real weapons. Hopkins in Arizona. I mean, they're coming down the pike right now with some real weapons that they're going to have to face, especially in the passing game. And I think tomorrow the Jets are gonna test their run defense, and that's been, you know, part of it. You look at that game last year against Indianapolis, Jonathan Taylor running wild against those guys. I think that's been kind of one of the lingering weaknesses of this defense that's let them down in some key times over the last few years is just that run defense. And I think you can hear it from the players too. They're acutely aware of what this game means, what they need to do to get better. But I think it's going to start up front trying to stop the run against the Jets and putting the pressure on Zach.
On a smaller scale, can you believe in Matthew Judon for this whole year like we have been so far?
I'd like to. I mean, he's such a breath of fresh air for that team. I mean, I can't imagine where they would be on the field or off the field without Judon. I mean, he is just, he's an absolute riot every time he comes into the press room. I mean, he's just got a great energy about him, and you can see how the team kind of rallies around him. So that question goes hand in hand with the defense overall, as we just said. Like, you know, is he going to be able to pick it up? I mean, I think he had one sack maybe down the stretch after his red hot start. So him, Dietrich Wise, all those guys, they have to continue to deliver. But, you know, the real tests are now. Like, these are the games that they have to show up, and they have to make game-changing plays.
All right, let's get to the offense. I know it's hard to talk about this offense because there's not much to say that hasn't already been said about every other bad team in the league, every other bad quarterback. But, you know, you're talking about an offense that's functioned really well one time, and that was when the other quarterback was playing against Cleveland. I think that was another game that you and I did together. And I just, you know, like, it's hard to, as a fan and as an observer and analyst of this team, to envision a scenario where Mac Jones suddenly busts out of this and plays well. Especially at home, his stats at home are dreadful. And I sort of wonder, Deuce, is it possible for him to go out there, have a great game, win the fans back, and turn this season around? Or are we past that point? I mean, it's November.
Yeah, well, he sure has the opportunity tomorrow. And I mean, I think this is a no easy task against this Jets defense, but you know, everything you're saying is right. I mean, going back to training camp, the offense, it's just they make some big plays here and there. They make some big runs here and there, but it just hasn't been consistent. And, you know, I mean, I think the first thing that you have to talk about is just the turnovers. And, you know, that in of itself is just a non-starter for being able to not beat yourself first before you can learn to win. And I think that's just the huge key. They haven't had a game this year where they haven't turned the ball over. Last year they had five of them. So, you know, it's just, I think that's a big key. Everybody wants to talk about the offensive line too. I think it's a valid point. I mean, sometimes they're just not giving Mac enough time. It's all connected. It's hard to kind of, you know, every week it seems like on Patriots Unfiltered, we're slicing up the blame pie and all right, you get a piece and this gets a piece. And, you know, the bottom line is they've had 2 weeks. Everybody, you know, Ramondre Stevenson said this week, I think everybody understands what our offense needs to do. They're saying all the right things. They seem focused on this game. Bill even seemed a little bit more focused on Friday than sometimes he gets a little loosey, you know, when it gets into Bill history, football history time on Friday press conferences. He seemed focused. So it's we'll see how it comes together. They've had some time to prepare, and I think they know what's at stake.
We're talking with Mike Dussault, Patriots.com. Deuce, Pro Football Focus had the Patriots offensive line ranked sixth best in the NFL. I don't know if you saw that. What? how do you? Is there any way to get there?
Oh, that's that's a tough one. I kind of come hot and cold with some of the PFF rankings. I do really appreciate the way they track positions and all that. But the metrics I kind of like are Football Outsiders, which measures, you know, efficiency adjusted for the situation, adjusted for the opponent. And, you know, by those metrics, they're well near the bottom of the league. So I think
I like them a little bit better too, then, if that's where they have them, because how can an offensive line with Isaiah Wynn and Cole Strange on it be in the top six?
Yeah, well, I mean, Mac has just been under duress, and I think that's why it's hard to really judge. And you know, even Ramondre Stevenson, who's had an excellent season and, you know, continues to be, you know, one of the guys doing the heavy lifting, he's having to dodge tackles in the backfield. What he's getting is yards after contact. So, you hope that they've figured something out on the line. I don't know if they've rejiggered things at all, if they've flipped Wynn around, or, you know, if Strange is going to be back in there, but it feels great to have David Andrews back. That's kind of the big, he's like the white knight. Like, let's hope that David Andrews can kind of settle everything down and get those guys, because it's a real tough front tomorrow against the Jets.
Is the Patriots offense, Deuce, at a point where if they play tomorrow, let's say they play the Jets tomorrow and Mac has a great game and they lose, would that be something that you and Patriots fan you think would be okay with?
Cool. That'd be a tough pill to swallow because it goes against the script right now, right. You know, and that's and right now the script is that the offense is not going to be able to carry a defense that I think people still have some trepidation about ever since, as you mentioned, 2019, the boogeymen, the last three seasons, they've gotten off to great starts and down the end, they can't really hold up. I think a lot is being asked of the defense right now, and they shouldn't have to, you know, do as much as I think we need. They need to at this point, which is, let's face it, you know, force turnovers, even score points, and that includes the special teams. So the offense has to step up and, you know, start by not turning the ball over and then finish in the red zone when you get the chance. And, you know, maybe they can find a stride here down the stretch.
What happened to the red zone? I was talking about this earlier. Hunter Henry and Mac Jones was the best thing this offense did last year. They get to the red zone, and you felt confident that Mac was going to find Henry and that they were going to score, and it seemed like there was a real connection and a real chemistry being built. I understand the offense is different, but shouldn't something like that have carried over a little bit this year? Like, what happened there?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that might be an issue to connect a little bit with just, you know, how much do these guys trust the offense right now? I mean, it doesn't really feel like Mac is anticipating windows in this offense right now like he was last year. And, you know, when you talk about the red zone, I mean, we get into training camp and, you know, we're there watching every day. I mean, they spend the first, you know, good chunk of the first 2 weeks in the red zone. I mean, it's just everything is tight. It's condensed. You have to throw with anticipation when you're going to. So I think a lot of people, though, are looking to that production that Hunter Henry had last year and wondering where it is. So, you know, that could definitely be a piece tomorrow that maybe emerges and helps kind of give them some vital points that you know, they're going to have to score when they get the chance.
All right. I don't know if this breaks the laws of Patriots.com or not, but how about our prediction?
Oh, no. Many predictions are made during the week, but I try to stick to them. I think it's going to be another tough one. I mean, it's a division game. I got Patriots pulling it out 19-17, but I really think it's going to be tight and points are going to be at a premium. Everything you say about whichever team makes the less mistakes is the team that's going to win. I think that's the case. Hopefully the Patriots defense can get after Zach Wilson, you know, not kind of sit there and wait for him to make mistakes, but force him to make mistakes and, you know, get some finishing sacks. You know, last year, like you said, they had good pressure, not quite enough sacks. So hopefully they get after him and force those continued mistakes.
Deuce, thanks so much for the time today. I certainly appreciate it.
Thanks, RK. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. That is Mike Dussault, Patriots.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Mike Dussault. That's DUSSAULT19. And you can read his stuff and hear him at Patriots.com. Again, Deuce, Mike Dussault, great guy. Thanks for joining the show. All right. Here you go. 617-779-7937. That is your phone number. We'll come back and wrap things up. I got a couple of thoughts on the potential demise of Twitter. And also, there's an update on the guys who robbed the bank on Martha's Vineyard, which I am obsessed, like literally obsessed with this story. So we'll get to that next.
We are right back to it. It's Christian Arcand on WEEI.
Sports Radio WEEI. It's Arcand here. A few more minutes left before we hand it over to BC football. A couple of things. Is anyone else, I don't know if people listening now are on Twitter like I am. I'm on Twitter like a lot. I know it's not great for me, but I'm on it a lot. And if you don't know, Musk has fired so many people that there's only like 200 people left working. And all the people who've recently left are like, you know, there's not enough people there to keep the thing running. If something goes wrong, no one can fix it. So Twitter, I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, I'm just sort of going by what these programmers are saying. You have two very loud voices on Twitter right now. You have the people, and this is just in terms of like the future of the app and if it's going to continue or survive or not. You have the people who just left who are all saying, I don't think this thing's going to hold up. And then you have like the Elon Musk defenders who just, no matter what, hey, he launched a rocket. Like he knows what he's doing. Like, okay, I'm sure. You know what? I was willing to believe that at the very beginning until that $8 for the verified badge thing came out. Then it was like, okay, this guy clearly doesn't know what he's doing.
That also lasted 2 days.
That was the dumbest idea I've ever heard in my life. For the low, low price of $8, first of all, we're going to make this app profitable, which what the hell are you talking about?
For the low, low price of $8, you can lose billions of dollars to every other company on the face of the earth.
Come on. And honor system, guys, don't abuse this and use it to make fake accounts of me and have, you know, make fun of me, which everyone immediately started doing. And he's like, oh, well, I'm going to ban all the people making fun of me. And then it's like they're now imitating companies and foreign leaders and all this other stuff. And stocks are getting messed with. And it's this whole thing. And he's like, all right, maybe this was a bad idea. And that is why I think he sucks at this. That's why I think no matter what he did with Tesla or what he did with any of the other stuff he's involved, SpaceX, all that, great. That doesn't mean he knows what to do with Twitter. The first idea he had with Twitter was the worst idea I've ever seen. Literally the worst idea I've ever seen. So I'm sorry, but every time I like refresh Twitter, I like cringe. Like, is this going to be it? Are we going to get, remember how when Twitter would be like overloaded, there was that picture of a whale and all the birds carrying the whale. It was like too many tweets right now. We'll get this fixed. Like, is that what it's going to be? Eventually I'm going to hit reload or I'm going to, you know, swipe down and all of a sudden that's it. It's just, that's it. You just get the whale and the birds. I feel like we're close to that. I feel like we're hovering on the brink of that. And I'll tell you what, that sucks. As someone who works in media, like, that blows. I don't care about, like, my blue check mark or anything. You want to take that away, fine. I honestly could care less. But having Twitter, having that as, like, a resource, especially when I'm on the air or putting a show together, oh, it's been great. It's made my job and my life so much easier. Seeing all these reporters and breaking news and all the other things that, you know, are vital in radio. Just breaking up to the second news. You get it on Twitter all the time. Oh, it's great for doing radio. It's really, I mean, I can't tell you how valuable it's been. I don't go back far enough to remember before, like, the internet when people were, you know, doing radio off ticker tape. Like, you know, like, that's, I feel like we're headed back towards that. We're headed back towards, you can hear the, you know, you hear Eddie Andelman flipping the pages of the paper in the background. Like, that's, you know, that's where we're going to be going soon. And that freaks me out. I got to be honest with you. That's a weird thing to sort of just lose all of a sudden. You know, so thanks, Elon. Thanks for ruining Twitter. If that's what's happening, we'll see. But if he ruins Twitter, that's going to piss me off. Like, no one asked you to spend $44 billion to come ruin this thing that we all use. You jerk. Like, stick to your rockets and your cars. What did you have to come ruin Twitter for? And the other thing I wanted to just touch on real quick. These people who robbed the bank on Martha's Vineyard. You seen this, Nick? Like, this story's amazing. These guys rolled into a Rockland Trust on Martha's Vineyard. They had guns and old man masks. And they rolled into Rockland Trust, everybody on the ground, tied them up, robbed the bank, stole one of the bank workers' cars, ditched it in the woods, and then disappeared. And no one knows where they are.
It's like the town.
It is. Someone said, if we learned anything from the town, it's that all you got to do is get to the bridge. Get to the bridge, you're home free.
And you get to Florida.
You can go anywhere. Just cross that bridge, you're fine. They ditched the car out in, like, Edgartown, out in some nature reserve, and vanished. Now, this is one thing that I read in the story in the Globe. Police have said that they think it's very unlikely that the suspects escaped by plane. I wasn't even considering that they had escaped by plane. But Cape Air is the only commercial carrier that goes to Martha's Vineyard. Everyone's screened by the TSA. Private planes got to have big background checks and everything. So unless it was, you know, an unsanctioned, unscheduled flight, which I guess it could have been, they're saying it probably was. They probably didn't fly out. Is it not obvious that they all hopped on, like, badass jet skis and took off back to, you know, wherever they went? I mean,
they're still on the ferry.
They could be at the Long Island. They could be in Long Island by now. You know, they could be in the Bahamas by now if they had the ones that I'm envisioning, like super badass jet skis, which, I mean, if you're pulling off a
super villain jet skis
bank robbery like this, you probably have some pretty cool jet skis waiting for you over by the dock. And that's all the time I have. Nick LaPan, great stuff. Want to say thanks again to Mike Dussault, Big Deuce, for joining me here on the program. We'll be back Monday with Maloney, Fourier, and Mego, and I'll be back next Saturday. I will talk to you then. BC football coming your way right now. I'm out of here. Bye, everybody.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.